This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. It's Thanksgiving week, and every year around this time, we like to revisit some of the interviews we did with chefs and cookbook authors over the past year. And we hope it might inspire you to create some new traditions with your family or help you finalize your holiday menu. This year, though, we're not going to start with a recipe. Instead, we've got a kitchen hack from the man who made his name with kitchen hacks, chef and cookbook author Kenji Lopez Alt. Earlier this year, we had him on to talk about his new cookbook, The Wok. And he says The Wok is an underappreciated pan that can be used to make all kinds of dishes.
Well, first of all, it's extremely versatile. So, you know, you can do everything from making stock in it to obviously stir frying. It's the best tool for deep frying. It's the best tool for steaming. You can smoke in it. There's a whole slew of things you can do in a wok. You know, but moreover, it's also just an extremely practical tool for all kinds of cooking. So particularly for sort of weeknight cooking, you know, whether you're having friends over or you're cooking for your family and you only have like half an hour. And, you know, it's like I sound like an infomercial talking about this.
But wait, there's more.
It is really true. Yeah. And it's funny because the infomercial, there's an infomercial from the 80s. That I grew up watching called The Great Wok of China, selling woks. And it really is like the first time I really started paying attention to woks, and everything they said in it was true.
Right. So I always associated a wok with stir fry, and that's pretty much it. Like I didn't consider other kinds of cooking in it, like cooking an omelet or, I don't know, cooking pasta or whatever it is that is usually done in other pans. But you say you can cook all of these other non-Chinese dishes in the wok?
Yeah. I mean, you know, most of the book focuses on East Asian techniques. So a lot of it is Chinese. A lot of it is sort of Chinese American dishes that, you know, I was familiar with growing up. There's a bunch of sort of Japanese stuff in there, as well as other sort of Southeast Asian recipes. But yeah, certainly you're by no means, you know, relegated to doing that. You know, so one example that I frequently bring up when people ask, like, you know, what is something that I would do in a Western pan that is actually better in a wok is deep frying. So a lot of people are afraid of deep frying. And I think a lot of that comes down to the difficulties of using something like a Dutch oven or a stock pot and the mess that it can make when you add food to it can bubble over. People are afraid of setting fires. And a wok, you know, because of its flared shape, it has these wide sides that come out really wide. And so when you put food in it to deep fry, you know, first of all, any sort of oil that splatters, it gets caught on the sides of the wok instead of going over and onto your stovetop. So there's less cleanup. And then you can also sort of get a, you know, metal spider or a strainer and maneuver stuff in there more easily, which is also, I think, what makes it easier to do things like poaching or simmering. So even things like pasta, you know, like they work really well in a wok because it's very easy to get like a spider or a strainer under there to move things around. Poaching eggs is really easy in a wok.
Chef and cookbook author Kenji Lopez Alt. His latest cookbook is called The Wok, Recipes and Techniques. Okay, now on to some recipes for your Thanksgiving feast. And let's be honest, when it comes to the average holiday meal, well, a lot of the main staples don't exactly pack the boldest of flavors. Turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, squash. It is a lot of beige. Well, here with a dash of color is Ukrainian cookbook author Anna Voloshina. She told us about her spicy and sour tomatoes when we had her on to talk about her new cookbook, Budmo, Recipes from a Ukrainian Kitchen. Be warned, though, if you want to make these, you have to start now because they need a few days to ferment.
Oh, my God. These tomatoes, like, first of all, the secret is in the marinade. It's not just like vinegar and oil or like brine. No, it's just like this thick, vibrant mixture of green bell pepper and hot jalapeno and vibrant herbs, and it all comes together with a little bit of oil, white vinegar, sugar and salt. And I just love how this complex marinade changes tomatoes over time. So you can eat those, like I usually use small tomatoes that are very good for pickling because they are small, they're soft, they're full of flavor, and they will absorb the flavor fast. But I like those tomatoes like 1 week after I made the marinade, and I just love the sourness and the texture of them. But some people like to eat them the same day. My mom says 3 days is like amazing. I say 1 week is my sweet spot, and they can keep in the fridge for like 2 or 3 months even. And those tomatoes taste as good as summer tomatoes.
So is this a good way to make meh kind of yucky tomatoes taste good? Or do you need to have really good tomatoes to start with?
I think you need to start with great produce to have a great dish. This is a must. I try to follow this rule. I try to get the best produce I can. And I'm very lucky to be in San Francisco where everything is available. But yes, this recipe can save meh tomatoes.
Anna Voloshina, author of the new cookbook, Budmo, Recipes from a Ukrainian Kitchen. Okay, that's one option for a zesty side dish. Another idea we have for you is from Navajo chef Freddie Bitsui. In his cookbook, New Native Kitchen, Bitsui has a recipe for Calabasas squash, tomatoes, and queso fresco. It's named for what is now Calabasas, California, which was home to the Chumash. Bitsui says this dish is really reflective of the kind of crops they grew and that we still grow here in Southern California.
It's squash, tomato, green chili, and cheese. And it's sauteed together to where, you know, everything's wilted. And it has just very great fall, winter kind of flavor. And since dairy product is not Native American, like Native American people did not preserve milk to any type of cheese or yogurt or anything in capacity. Cheese is such a European product. But however, queso fresco is kind of like was a new way of making cheese in the Western Hemisphere. So I call that Native American cheese. And it's crumbly. It doesn't, when I eat it, because I'm lactose intolerant, when I eat it, it doesn't upset my stomach. So anytime that I use cheese, it will be queso fresco.
And what do you spice it with?
Everything is just pretty much salt and pepper. Sometimes people put paprika or chili powder in there, but with Native American flavor, the chili itself, the actual pepper is the spice. So there's really not necessarily, you know, a spice rack full of different ingredients that you would put in most native foods.
That's Navajo chef Freddie Bitsui. His cookbook is called New Native Kitchen, Celebrating Modern Recipes of the American Indian. Okay, so that's your sides. Next up, something to sop up all that tasty Thanksgiving goodness. And usually that's what bread is for. But instead of bread, may we suggest handmade tortillas for the table? Maybe a Thanksgiving taco? Sacrilege? Maybe. But think about it for a second. Is there a more effective vessel to achieve the perfect Thanksgiving bite than a tortilla? I mean, it's really perfect. You put a little turkey, some stuffing, a dollop of cranberry sauce, a splash of gravy, fold it together in a soft, sturdy tortilla. Voila. It could work, yeah. Earlier this year, I spoke with Jorge Gaviria about his cookbook, Masa, Techniques, Recipes, and Reflections on a Timeless Staple. And while we didn't run the idea of a Thanksgiving taco by him, he did explain how easy it was to make tortillas by hand, especially if you have the special flour for it called masa harina.
Let's just make this easy. Let's start with masa harina. So okay. you're very, very technically, pretty easy. You're just going to take like equal parts by volume water and masa harina, mix them together, and get to a consistency that's wet, but like not super tacky or sticky in your fingers. and you're going to get a tortilla press. If you don't have a tortilla press, you can use, you know, anything that's flat. You could use books, basically a MacGyver press. Wheel the shape of a tortilla. And if you don't have that, you can make tons of shapes without a tortilla press. You know, sopes, you can make, you know, arepas, mm-hmm. tamales. If you're using a tortilla press to make a tortilla, you know, get just press it. I mean, like, just roll a ball, put it on the surface of the tortilla press plate, close the lid, open it back up, and you've got a tortilla. Cook it for about 20 seconds per side till it's cooked through the center, and you got a tortilla. I mean, it's pretty astounding once you do it, especially using masa harina. You realize how easy it is to kind of just take that extra, I don't know, like 5 minutes, and you have kind of a transcendental experience, if I can say that.
Mm, you can.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced. I'm converted.
That was the goal. Thanks, Madeline.
That was Jorge Gaviria, author of the cookbook Masa, Techniques, Recipes, and Reflections on a Timeless Staple. Now, time for dessert. And for that, of course, we turn to the dessert queen, KCRW's own Evan Kleiman. Last year, we talked to her about one of her favorite holiday recipes. It's chocolate gingerbread, and it's from Nigella Lawson's cookbook, Feast. Evan says it hits all the right holiday notes with warming spices like ginger, cinnamon, and nutmeg, and a little chocolate to balance out the sweetness.
So the recipe, you know, it looks really long. It's all those spices and all those different sugars, but it's really easy. You do it all in one pan. And you mix it up with a spoon. So first you're melting the butter with all the different sugars and spices. Then you beat in the milk and eggs in the same pan. And then you just add the flour and cocoa powder and chocolate chips, although I use chopped chocolate. And then you bake it. It's just unbelievable plain. It's great with Nigella's icing, but icing is a bit too much for me. So I started serving it with lemon curd, which I just think offsets the richness of all those spices and the chocolate really well.
Yum. I think I would like whipped cream.
It is really great with whipped cream. And if you're going to eat just a square of it, that's really great. Of course, you know, you don't have to make your own lemon curd. You can always buy it. Mm. There's lots of great lemon curd out there in a jar.
Yeah. Why chocolate? What does that do to the traditional gingerbread recipe?
Well, strangely enough, well, maybe not so strangely, when you add cocoa powder in particular to a recipe, it acts sometimes as adding coffee does to a recipe, where it tamps down sweetness. So it adds this extra layer of richness because of the cocoa butter, but it also just has such a deep, complex flavor that it really rounds out all the sweetness. And one of the most interesting things about this cake is that it's such a great base for making a trifle. So if you're really entertaining, you're having a group of people over, you can make this cake that's so easy to make, and you just cut it up in pieces and layer it in a glass bowl with the lemon curd and whipped cream, and people go crazy for it.
Oh, what is a trifle, by the way?
A trifle is a layered dessert that consists of usually some kind of sponge cake, often a sugar syrup of some kind to moisten the cake, and then jam and whipped cream. I'm using this squidgy kind of damp chocolate gingerbread, so you don't really need to moisten it, although I have in the past used a lemon sugar syrup to do so. And then instead of the jam, I'm using the lemon curd, and then of course the whipped cream.
That's Evan Kleiman, host of KCRW's Good Food, and you can find the recipes for chocolate gingerbread, Evan's lemon curd, and all the other recipes we just talked about online at, write this down now, KCRW.com/alternative-thanksgiving-recipes, all one word, KCRW.com/alternative-thanksgiving-recipes. Happy eating! that'll do it for us today on Press Play. You know, you can follow us online at Twitter on Twitter or on Instagram. We are at KCW Press Play, and you can tell us what you like and what you don't like, what you want to hear more of or less of. Just be kind. It is Thanksgiving, after all. I'm Madeline Brand. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.